Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. I'm Joel Cantalamessa, and this segment is sponsored by Ed Bozar Chevrolet. Ed Bozar Chevrolet is Colorado's number one Chevy dealer, located at 2001 South of Anna in Aurora. They've got tons of certified pre-owned vehicles at great prices. They've got their model year-end sale going on, and of course, the 2015s are rolling in. Per Kyle Bell, listeners can stop into the store, mention that they heard Kyle and the Ed Bozar Chevrolet segment on Ram Nation Radio, and receive an extra $500 off their purchase price. So there's some great stuff going on there. Check them out. I'm excited to introduce my next guest, the Fort Collins, Colorado, and CSU beat reporter Kelly Lyle, who does a fantastic job covering this team over the years. Welcome, Kelly. And you have the unique distinction of being our first repeat guest. Did you know that?
Wow, I'm honored.
You are. We have only been on the air for, what, 5-6 weeks now. But, yeah, you are the go-to guy, buddy.
Good to know. I'm glad I can be somebody's go-to guy.
So the Rams finally put a team away. It was the first time really since the Tulsa game that they got up on a team and didn't let them claw back into it. What were your impressions from that game? You got to see a lot of young guys, and they played great on offense, played some solid defense. What were your overall thoughts on the game?
You know, I think the most important thing was, like you said, the way they approached it. They came out and dominated a team that they should dominate. They didn't let them back into the game. You know, too often I think this year they've gone out and played really, really well early and gotten those big leads and then let teams kind of creep back into the game. You know, we saw it at Nevada, saw it at San Jose State, and saw it against Wyoming at Hughes Stadium. And none of those teams are teams that really should have been able to do that to them. So I think it was really important that they finish, as the players talked about. And even more so in this game, they made plenty of early mistakes. I mean, you know, fumble in the end zone for a safety and right off the bat, a whole lot of things weren't going right. And yet they were able to quickly kind of put those things to rest, overcome them, and go out and do what they were supposed to do. And I think that was really important. And then it was really fun in that fourth quarter to get to see a whole lot of these young guys that we don't see much getting a chance to play because they had the game wrapped up and there was no need to risk injury to Garrett Grayson or DeHart or guys like that. So we got to watch Nick Stevens run the offense, got to watch Deron Thompson get some carries, things like that. That was kind of fun, too.
The interesting thing about the fourth quarter there, CSU was looking to go up 52. Well, you know, they could have put up a touchdown and gone up, you know, 55 or whatever it was. But they miss a chip shot 27-year-old field goal, and you could see steam coming out of Coach McElwain's ears. You know, the game was well in hand, obviously, and the field goal was meaningless, but you have a chance to go up 52-22. Did you notice that? I mean, did he show any angst after the game on the fact that they could not finish that drive?
He showed a little bit. He's always talks about, you know, he won't call Jared Roberts by name. You ask him about Jared, and his response is, who, the Subway guy? He calls him kicker, and he expects him to do his job. And if he does his job, everything's good. If he doesn't do his job, like missing a chip shot field goal, then things aren't so good. You certainly saw it. I know. I think maybe from a promotional standpoint, they might have made a mistake doing a big emotional thing with Jared's sister, who's in the military, serving overseas, and having her appear on the scoreboard kind of live during the game as part of their tribute to military on Military Appreciation Day. And I think that may have gotten into Jared's head a little bit. Certainly as a kicker, you try to block all that stuff out, but I think that was probably a pretty emotional thing for him, looking up on the big scoreboard screen during a timeout, and there's his sister talking to him, and then the TV cameras, you know, go out on him. And I think that may have contributed somewhat to that. That may have taken him kind of out of his normal zone a little bit, and I kind of hope that's the case, because I think he's a really, really good kicker, and it's not like him to miss field goals like that.
Yeah, you could see that touched him a little bit when they showed his sister up on the screen. Pretty neat moment, but you're right, that could play into the psyche for sure. Did you keep an eye on the Boise, New Mexico game while you were in the press box?
I was flipping back and forth between a live stat tracker on that game and the game I was covering simultaneously while running our live chat we do during the game. So I had a lot of different things going on my computer between plays I was checking. It seemed for most of the game like the Rams were going to get that opportunity they needed to have Boise State stumble. And really, you know, have a good chance to wrap up that Mountain Division title. And then Boise somehow found a way, as good teams do, to win at the end, and ends up winning 60-49, I think, was the final. So not quite sure entirely how they pulled it out, but they did pull it out. And that was not good news for the Rams, who would love to have Boise stumble again.
Any chance you think they can dump one of their final three remaining games at home against San Diego State, at Wyo, or at home against Utah State?
There's always that chance. They're not the kind of team they've been, as was proven when they lost at Air Force. They're not as dominant maybe as they've been in the last decade. I think it's going to be pretty tough for anybody, though, to beat them at Boise. They've lost four games there since 2000. Out of over 90 played, so they don't lose at home often. That's a really tough environment for opponents. Certainly San Diego State and Utah State are teams good enough to knock them off. If they were playing those games in San Diego and Logan, I would like their chances. I don't think the Broncos lose those games in Boise. I actually think the toughest one for them is going to be that game in Laramie next weekend. I think that could be a tough one, because we've all seen it over the years. Wyoming, every once in a while, they tend to knock off somebody that they probably shouldn't beat almost every year in a late-season home game. And, you know, I think that might be the best chance. It'll probably be a little strange for Ram fans to be rooting for the Pokes, but I'm guessing they all will be for that one.
Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, was our guest. Your colleague Matt Stevens wrote a column this week about what a joke it was that Garrett Grayson was not named a semifinalist for the Davey O'Brien Award. It, you know, with the season that he's having, it's a video game type of season. It just seems ludicrous that he's been left off of that semifinal list. And then you see today he shows up on the Heisman Trophy website as one of the 18 aspirant candidates for that award. And so he's at least on their radar. What's your take on the snub, and do you think that was fair?
You know, I don't think it was fair. I think that I'm not quite sure why. I think people are very quick to dismiss what Garrett Grayson has done this year, and I really don't know why. Maybe it's because, kind of like the Alabama quarterbacks that Jim McElwain coached, you know, he doesn't talk up his quarterbacks because they have a job to do. They're part of a system. They're supposed to do it. You know, you look at really, I think A.J. McCarron never got his due. And I think that was part of the reason, because that's just kind of how you do things. That's what you're supposed to do. And I think Garrett may be suffering both from a combination of that and then the fact that you're in the Mountain West Conference, you're not in the national spotlight. A lot of your games, even those that are on national TV, are played after midnight on the East Coast. So even the hardcore fans are having trouble staying up to watch those. At the same time, the numbers he's putting up, you would think people would notice a little more. They are impressive. He is third in the country right now in passer rating. That's not a created number. That's a formula that the NCAA has come up with to determine the effectiveness of a passer. He's number three in the country. He is the third best quarterback in the country on that, behind only Marcus Mariota, and I forget who the other in front of them is. They're very, very good quarterbacks. They're legit Heisman contenders. They're top Heisman contenders in front of them. And so for him to not even be considered one of the top 16 quarterbacks in the Davey O'Brien cut, I think that was a real snub and really unfortunate, because I think Garrett Grayson is better than that. And I think he'll eventually show people that. I think this guy will be one of the first he'll be one of the first 10 quarterbacks drafted for sure, maybe one of the first 6 or 7 by the NFL. And I think he's got a chance to have a decent NFL career. I don't think he'll be a superstar, but I think he could be a solid pro quarterback, either as a, you know, key number 2 guy for a good team, or maybe even a starter on a team that's struggling a little bit.
Kelly, a Kansas City radio station was discussing this week on their talk show about Big 12 conference expansion. And two of the teams that they listed at the top of the list were Colorado State University and Cincinnati. You know, it's kind of got, you know, the fans abuzz a little bit. And obviously it's probably, you know, just someone's random opinion. I've always kind of been a proponent of trying to build up the Mountain West. But that's kind of waned a little bit when you lost the TCUs and Utah and BYU over the years. And now it's kind of every man for himself. And the gap between the haves and the have-nots is growing. You pretty much got to try to position yourself and do everything possible you can to make yourself attractive to one of those conferences, don't you? And do you think there's any realistic opportunity there?
You know, I've been kind of a naysayer on the opportunity of Colorado State getting into the Big 12 all along. I don't think it's a super realistic possibility. I won't say it can't happen. Certainly some of the changes we saw, you know, a couple years ago were shocking to me and not ones I would have ever anticipated. So obviously if the Big 12 does look to expand, if they want to go to that, get to that 12 teams, 14 teams, 16 teams, anything like that to be able to hold a conference championship game, you know, they are going to look. Colorado State would be a team they would look at. I think where they run into trouble is I don't know that they really have enough command of the Denver TV market to really convince the Big 12. I think that's always going to be an issue. And the fact that they couldn't get a Denver TV station to televise their games virtually for free a couple years ago doesn't help. You know, they had to pretty much give those games away to get them on TV in Denver, some of those local broadcasts, and that was too bad. I'm not quite sure why people in Denver don't follow Colorado State more, but it seems like there just isn't kind of the fan base there that would help them make that argument. And then the other hard part is, you know, you've got Houston would seem to be a natural for a Big 12. You know, Cincinnati, you mentioned, makes sense. There's people that have thrown, now that you have West Virginia in the mix, what about Marshall? Teams like that come up. So it's hard to say for sure. I think Colorado State would be in the conversation, but I don't think they'd be in those first two, probably not even in the first four. I think their best chance, the Big 12 would almost have to be wanting to go to 16 teams, or one or two of those other teams that have to get snatched up by, say, a Big 10 wanting to go to 16, or an SEC wanting to go to 16, to where Colorado State moved up a little bit on that Big 12 list. Again, I could be wrong. I don't read inside the heads, but I know people that have talked to Big 12 officials, several people I know that have talked to Bob Bowlesby about this over the last couple years, you know, when they've mentioned Colorado State, he's, you know, I don't think he's laughed out loud at them, but they've gotten the impression that there's absolutely no hope of that happening. That's not, Colorado State has not been on the Big 12's radar, at least in the past. Maybe things are changing now. They're getting a lot more attention with this national ranking, the kind of season they're having. Certainly if they move forward and, you know, build an on-campus stadium, they keep having success in basketball and other things that just kind of get the whole program on the map more, on the radar more, a little more mention on SportsCenter, things like that. Maybe that changes. At this point, I still think that's probably a far-fetched option, but at least it's out there.
Kelly Lyles, our guest. Kelly, you just mentioned the stadium. That decision is just weeks away. Are there any rumblings, new information you've heard on what direction this could go?
You know, we're still awaiting word. I've got, the rumors are always flying about this, so I could, you know, there are about 37 different rumors out there, and since Tony Frank only put four stadium options out, to find that many different rumors is amazing. People are throwing things out there that definitely are not on the table that could happen, so it'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to find out fairly soon, maybe even before that December Board of Governors meeting. I think some dominoes are starting to fall into place as I talk to people in different locations and research some different things. So it'll be interesting. I think that Tony Frank definitely and the Board of Governors definitely want a new on-campus stadium. The question is if they can find a way to afford it and make it, you know, keep the risk and or revenue potential where they need it to be to finance it. That's the biggest question. I think that's been the biggest question all along. I don't think they really want to play long-term or put money into Hughes Stadium long-term because they can't pick it up and move it to campus. I think that's the biggest problem with it. And I think at the Board of Governors meeting in October, it became pretty apparent that Tony and the Board of Governors really, really want a new stadium on campus. You could just tell as they were discussing those four options that none of them really saw doing something with Hughes as a feasible alternative. There are plenty of people here in town that would love to see them do something with Hughes, certainly, maybe even the majority, depending on which surveys and polls you believe. But I think they're going to find a way to build a new campus on stadium. The question is going to be exactly how they finance it, how big it is, what it looks like, and when they actually are able to do it.
Well, Kelly, you wrote a column earlier this week saying this could be the best ever year as a CSU fan. We only have about 30 seconds left. I would agree with you. If things keep panning out this way, it really could be. Do you think this is all due? I mean, what? Just a few short years ago, it was completely opposite. Is this all due to the changes that Jack Ram put in place just in the last 2 years?
I think a big part of it, it's the culture change that he started, and then he brought in coaches that continued that change. Larry Eustace doesn't settle for mediocrity. Jim McElwain doesn't settle for mediocrity. These are people that are used to winning at the highest levels, and they're elevating their programs to do that. The expectations have changed. Ryan Williams in women's basketball. Tom Hilbert's always been that way with the volleyball program, but he was given a little bit of a shot in the arm with a pay increase and some other things to make it even a little bit easier for him to maintain and build, and now he's got a top 10 program.
Yep, a lot of good stuff. Kelly, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I wish we had more time. That's all the time we have for this show. Thanks to all of our guests, Steve Ivey, Kelly Lyle. You've been listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports. I'm Joel Cantalamessa. Have a great night and a great weekend.